The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-newsletter, Nursing Notes, which offers the latest industry news, trends, and updates in nursing. You can subscribe to the e-newsletter at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes issue is accompanied by a select few episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the e-newsletter. You can listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. On Nursing Notes Live this month, we investigate the expanding role of clinical nurse leaders in healthcare facilities. These nurse leaders are working to implement change and improve patient outcomes in our healthcare system. I got the chance to join a panel discussion on clinical nurse leaders and clinical nurse specialists with Nina Swan, a clinical nurse leader at Iredell Memorial Hospital in North Carolina, Kathy Coleman, clinical nurse leader and adjunct professor at University of San Francisco School of Nursing and Health Professionals, and Peggy Barksdale, a clinical nurse specialist and vice president of the National Association of Clinical Nurse Specialists. Here's that segment. Kathy, Nina, Peggy, I want to welcome all three of you to Nursing Notes Live and our discussion this month on clinical nurse leaders and clinical nurse specialists.
Thank you.
So I guess I'll start with Peggy. Why don't you go ahead and share with us a little bit about your background in nursing, why you wanted to become a nurse, and your career path through school and what led you to where you are today.
Thank you, Jamie, so much. Nice meeting you, Nina and Kathy. I started a long, long time ago. I received a nurse doll for Christmas one year. I got a Halloween costume and was in a play that had a nurse's uniform. And I really love science and math. When I went looking for a school of nursing, my high school guidance counselor told me I fainted at the sight of blood and I did not have the aptitude to be a nurse. So I went and got my degree in fine arts, worked at the Indianapolis Museum of Art for less than a year, and they decided LPNs worked in doctor's offices, so they probably wouldn't have to deal with blood. And I went through a diploma program. Yes, I did faint my first clinical. It was a nosebleed. I got over that. worked 15 years as a LPN in a hospital and loved hospital work. But I had encouragement from two clin specs. They told me, Peggy, you need to go back, get your RN, and become a clinical nurse specialist. And so I went back. Because I had a bachelor from Indiana University, I did the transition LPN to ASN. And then from there, I transitioned to the MSN program and got my master's in clinical nurse specialist, adult health. Loved it ever since.
I'll bet. That's a great story. That's really great. Nina, how about you? What was your reason for becoming a nurse and how you got to where you are today?
Well, as a child, I was ill, and one of the scopes that I had, endoscopy scopes that I had, I remember as they were probably giving me a little bit of medication, my nurse just being there, holding my hand, looking down, smiling at me, and telling me everything was going to be fine. And I just thought, well, that's kind of a cool job to have, just make everybody feel good. So, and I also had given my grandfather his insulin shots when I was about 10 years old. So I really started just knowing at a really young age that I was going to be a nurse. That was it. And
wow.
I went to LPN school, got my diploma, worked as an LPN, and then went on to get my associate degree level at the technical college, and then my bachelor's. I just enjoy the education side of, I look at every day that I'm learning something new still today, and whether it's learning something new about how to how my nurse at the bedside is critically thinking, or she's missing a piece of critical thinking. So I'm learning like the gaps and really paying attention to that. And I actually, when the CNL role came along, I was working on a graduate studies for leadership in general, and it was actually, I was thinking I was going to leave nursing. I was getting frustrated at the bedside with realizing that big pieces of a patient's story were just getting dropped through the cracks. And it was frustrating me, and just, you know, I was like, there's got to be something better than this. I'm just getting too frustrated at the bedside. This is irritating me, because I knew we give better care than that, and I wanted to be the person making sure that better care was being given. And this role actually came along as I was out taking graduate leadership studies with people in the business community. So I was just going to go out and create myself a whole new career on the other side of the fence from healthcare, out in the business world. And this role came along. So I quickly read the white paper 6 or 7 times and picked out the pieces. I was like, this is it. This is what I'm looking for. This is stimulating. This is going to keep me at the bedside, because I knew I loved nursing, but I was becoming really frustrated with the fragmentation of it and how that was affecting patients. So this role has kept me in the career that I love, and I'm thankful for it.
That's inspiring. That really is.
Yeah. And now you're bringing all that business and leadership back into the CNL role.
Yes.
Kathy, how about you?
Well, I first want to apologize for finishing up a little cold this weekend, so I hope you can hear me okay. I am also a diploma grad, Philadelphia, Jefferson, very seasoned nurse for over 40 years. And I worked as a nurse's aide in a summer many years ago in high school. And I just fell in love with taking care of the older people. And then I worked at a hospital as a nurse's aide, and in high school, I was in the Future Nurses Club. Mm-hmm. And at Jefferson, I really fell in love with cancer nursing, because of back then, we didn't even give the diagnosis. It was still a big secret and a big C. And I was very fascinated with the multidimensional aspects of oncology. So after I went to Jefferson in Philly, I moved up to Boston because all my friends were there, and did a little bit med-surg ER in Cape Cod, and then moved back to California and began to subspecialize in oncology. Never went back to school because I did take courses here and there, but I had such good jobs and I was making good money, and I never went back until later on when I moved to San Francisco and USF had an open house, and I learned about this wonderful CNL role. In about 2003, I switched over from breast center development. My oncology career led me to subspecialize in breast cancer, and then subsequently into breast center development as a consultant to help develop breast centers. And I also developed a few on my own, working in for-profit and nonprofit organizations. And I found that the common denominator for making change was quality. If everybody could agree on quality, we could move forward. So I began to specialize in performance improvement in 2003, and that's where I work now. I teach at USF, and I work as a consultant for a nonprofit in performance improvement in the doctor's offices. Right now I'm working on a contract for EHR adoption. And so I've been about 30 years in breast cancer and breast center development, and the last 10 years in performance improvement, and I just love it. And I think the CNL role is such a change agent role. You know, we want to change the system, and it came along at the right time. I, like Naya, I read the white paper, not 7 times like she did, but maybe once or twice. And I was really struck with the work by Godfrey in microsystems, because in my performance improvement work, I had learned about Dr. Wasson in Dartmouth. So I was really drawn to the role and where the action is. Not being a bedside nurse, to me, it's the second best thing to improve patient outcomes, which is really by helping the nurses who are on the front line and the other interdisciplinary staff as well. So that's my story.
So
I think that. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Donna.
I was going to say, I think that that performance improvement piece, I never would have dreamed back when I first began the CNL role in 2005 that I was ever going to go on to leadership. And I feel like this is one of the most critical roles, the CNL role, as a stepping stone for future managers because or directors of units, because you were able to help translate the information quickly and to down to the bedside level so that staff are connecting all the dots now with the gaps being filled in by the CNL that's there with that patient 5 days a week, and also making staff aware of those performance goals and those performance improvement measures and all the things that at a system level are being put in place, but it can't always get down to that point of care at the bedside. To the nurse's level, things get lost in the transition of that. And so the CNL has been a real crucial liaison to the system level stuff down to the microsystem point of care level.
One question I have is neither one of you looked at the clinical nurse specialist degree program, which really kind of surprised me. You read the white paper, yet you didn't read anything about a CNS paper. And a lot of times, I'll be honest with you. I had to Google CNL because here in Indiana, we only had one school, and even just to try and find that. But you're right. Quality, good outcomes, evidence-based practice, those are very important. We're always looking at the bottom line, that the patient, the family, as well as, you know, our nursing system itself, we're looking for high-quality indicators. And change agent, a ClinSpec has always been known to be a change agent. And I think this is great that, you know, we're opening up all nursing to consider to look more. The practice has always been for the betterment of the patient.
Yeah. You know, Peggy, I have a question for you. I know a lot of clinical nurse specialists, and I highly respect CNSs and clinical nurse educators and managers. We have such a beautiful tapestry of roles in nursing. But would you say that my perception, at least, was that the CNSs were more of a consultant for complicated individual care, not necessarily looking at the systems level changes and the leadership issues that needed to take place?
Oh, I do. Kathy, I do. We're part of a new infrastructure that started about 2 years ago where the clinical nurse specialist looks at evidence-based practice. She works with the CNE for operations, works with the vice president of medical affairs so that we can key in with the physicians. And also quality and risk, the site leader, is part of this quad that we had developed in five of our network hospitals. So, and of course, originally, the clinical nurse specialist was looked in her specialty areas because that's our hallmark. My specialty was orthopedics. So developing the Centers for Joint Health programs, looking at other program development that we did, that's what we originally did. We still do. I still help with the work of my Centers for Joint Health.
Yeah, Peggy, I was going to say, having worked in an institution that has used both roles, I had the influence of CNSs all throughout my career. And I think one of the reasons why I didn't look at that role is because they were used system-wide for their specialty area. So they only touch the lives of, you know, maybe two or three patients out of each unit on any given day. And it was particularly because they were the specialist in cardiology or the specialist in geriatrics or and whatever we were having trouble with. And where I used the CNL and CNS complementary was I think our CNSs saw a huge increase in their consults to the bedside on patients that before the CNL role was there were getting missed. And they were being pulled in. Yeah, so we were pulling
them
in quicker rather than later. And I think that's where the two roles complement each other, because one of the ways we kind of got over the territorial issues at first, because everybody was wary when CNLs first came on the scene, where we actually met with our clinical nurse specialist on a monthly basis when we brought the role into our institution. And then we met with them quarterly, and they still do to this day. So even though we're many years out into the role, and this is at the former employer where I worked, I'm going to have the joy of precepting two or three students here shortly that are going to be CNL students. So I'm excited for my employer here.
Nita, were you at Maine Medical before?
I was, yeah. With Mark Wiggins, and CNSs were wonderful, and we still, I mean, their consults are through the roof now, but I think they're brought into cases a lot earlier than what nurses at the bedside were doing because of the staggered 12-hour shifts and everything that nurses do now at the bedside.
I think one of the insights that I had related to the different roles, whether it's CNS or manager or CNL, was from Mars Wiggins. And I always remembered this from the very first CNL meeting that I attended several years ago, is that the roles are value added. And the fact that the CNL has a skill set that's a little different, in my mind, I remember it with something called ELMOR, E-L-M-O-R. Mm-hmm. Evidence-based practice, leadership, microsystems, outcomes, and return on investment. When I heard Marge Wiggins originally talk about the role and how she was recruiting, she couldn't wait for new CNLs to come out. She already had, and Hunter did as well, already had the CNS role integrated. But where the CNL fit in was in looking beyond the unit and really tying in that return on investment, the value proposition, the business case, whatever you want to call it, with what we were doing across settings. So I really see the CNO role as an advanced generalist, as the white paper points out, but across settings. Right. I think it was born out of the need for acute care because of the IOM report in 99 and 2001. However, my students now at USF, one of them last week told me that the CNL is like a broad-spectrum antibiotic, where you know, they're advanced generalists, and they can take that skill set, and I have them in home care, in psych, in inpatient med-surg, outpatient, skilled nursing. They're all over the place, and they're just eagerly wanting to learn more about systems-level change and leadership and being more of an informal leader rather than a leader that has positional power or authority. Because once they prove their credibility and their trustworthiness and they can get their arms around particular projects or problems in a microsystem, then they're off and running if they have the right support from the manager or the CNS collegially or other people that are, you know, working in that organization.
Right. So, Nina, how can you describe one of your a usual day for you? I mean, you're working in North Carolina. I mean, working as a CNL. How does your day
I moved on into leadership, and I can say I'm probably a very different leader than someone who just normally steps from the bedside. Because I think because of having done the CNL role, the communication about where we're trying to go, just the way that I make staff go on this mission with me as far as it's a journey. And so I came here 10 months ago, and I've helped turn a staff that was, you know, stagnant and not doing anything new and not having the autonomy or ownership abilities at the bedside anymore. They were waiting to be told everything to do. I've turned them around into the more of the inquisitive, questioning, let's get our numbers up, let's prove who we are, let's give the best care, champion of all that. And I think that I'm not sure I would have been the same type of leader. You know, I'm not sure I would have said, well, why isn't this system working? You know, I would have stayed in that bedside mentality of, okay, well, it's just let's go to this person and have them fix it for us, which that's the quick Band-Aid fix thing to do. And I think that's the rut that a lot of places get into. They quickly fix something, but it's not what's going to work best at the bedside.
Right.
Also, today, when I came in, I do stay at the bedside. I talk.
Right.
Of course, I've got the building. That's where my charge is, the South Campus. And went to ICU, talked with my nurses, how's your day going, how's things going. Falls is something we're really trying to work on. And we have a 50% reduction, but that's just 50% of a reduction. Falls still are happening, and we've still had some injuries, which are less than 20%. Talking about that, then go up to ortho, neuro, spine. We had 8 joints that are being done today. So, again, I do fall a little bit back on that, looking at it. And going to a leadership huddle and just talking about the day. We have a new unit that will be moving this afternoon into another part of the hospital, and I'll help with that. And also met with my student from University of Indianapolis. She'll be meeting with me tomorrow, and we'll be asking as her preceptor what she has done. That's what I've done so far. So I have not left my bedside.
Right.
Yet I'm at the table,
right,
you know, with leadership.
Oh, yeah.
So, and
Peggy,
I don't have
Peggy,
a...
But Peggy, do you have a home base in a unit? Or are you more organization-wide through the macro?
I am. My home base is South Campus. So I see every unit. I try and make my rounds every other day. I have specific units I do look at. Friday is often leadership, where the quad meets, discuss CMS indicators, HCAPs. And again, false SSIs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so I think like how we actually worked both roles at MayMed is kind of what I'm hoping is going on out there in the country because, you know, the CNL then, when you walk away, Peggy, after having checked in on people, will make sure the things that you requested get done at the bedside. So they're kind of like there at the point of care, staying there the entire 12-hour shift, making sure that, you know, things are followed through on, and the reason why, and making sure everybody understands that.
Right, yeah.
And I would say just after, I just finished walking through our unit doing rounds with our nurses, with the director of nursing practice here at Iredell, and we, you know, it was funny because half of my unit of nurses are very confident. They gave us great reports on their patients, and the other half not so much. So we're going to do them again tomorrow on the with the same staff and start on the opposite end and just see if it's a comfort thing or is it really a confidence thing. Are they getting rough reports from the former shift? Is there, you know, what's really missing, you know,
well,
in,
right,
in
it's
having
true.
The
new nurses,
mm-hmm.
We have got new nurses. You know, we always have people that move into other roles. Mm-hmm. And you're right, that critical thinking is really important, and that's
right.
Something we need to look at. Mm-hmm. And
I think the critical I
wonder how
that.
Your role is a little different from being, because right now I've got a patient care coordinator who works A and B sides of a unit, and then, of course, the manager, and then we've got the director. And I come in, yes, mostly it's consulting and mostly looking at CLABSI, CAUTI, FALL, you know.
I would say the difference for me, Peggy, is that the CNL is home-based in a unit. Or in an organizational setting in that microsystem, however that microsystem is defined, where the patients and the people that take care of those patients congregate. And I am not familiar with the CNS training in terms of content, but I can tell you that in the CNL, there's a lot of change theory. And there's a lot of principles of spread and leadership, more so than I've seen way back in my diploma program, for sure. But there is, that's why I think the change agent, the system level change agent, keeps coming back to me. And not that anything is better or worse, it's a skill set. It's a skill set that allows people to really take a fresh look at a problem from different perspectives and to train and educate the staff and not make change just for the sake of making change, but have a beginning and have an end and have a return on investment with that so that we can prove ourselves and prove the role and then move on to the next big problem.
Well, you know, clinical nurse specialist is working with theories. Don't forget you've got not only change theory, you've also got chaos, complexity, the health belief theory.
Self-care.
I mean, it's just nursing theories just, you know, can swell real fast. But do you have at facilities every unit, ortho, med-surg, critical, each one has a CNL?
I can speak for my former employer at Maine Medical Center. Most units had a CNL. So when we were the first group that went through the system, when we had a patient travel off of our unit, so I was on initially on a 46-bed medical telemetry unit, all the fresh MIs, all the ICDs, all the pacemakers, those kinds of things, I would follow my patients. So if a heart failure patient then, because of the, you know, of their age, moved on to the ACE unit, and which was our geriatric unit, I would follow that patient down there initially until if the CNL on that unit was too busy or involved in a project where she didn't feel like she could follow that patient as well. And or I would pass off directly to a CNL who I knew was going to be there 5 days a week so she could keep every bedside nurse informed on this really complex patient every day. And so, you know, depending, not every unit has a CNL, but you either follow the patient from start to finish through their entire stay and beyond into the nursing homes or into the rehab center.
So just like a clinical nurse specialist, you work as a team member.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I think, too, that Kathy Rick, who's head of the, she might still be, I guess, the head of the nursing for the VA, she was one of the early adopters and innovators related to the role. And I think her goal is to have a CNL on every unit in the VA by 2015, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But let me not give any, you know, false hope here. There are, in California, where I am, there just are not FTEs to be filled with CNLs. It's part of our own challenge to sell the role, to build the credibility around the role, and create those jobs in the future. I mean, it's I've been told, you know, nurse practitioners weren't initially accepted either, and we're seeing that diffusion of change over time where you're right, Peggy, it is a team, and it's a value-added team, and if you're lucky enough to have funding, which is why I really remember what Marge Wiggins said. She said, I have no trouble justifying paying for my CNLs because I'm tying it to a return on investment related to a problem, whether it's a never event or a meaningful use measure, something that is going to speak to the administration in terms of, you know, the cost and the value of this role, which I have never forgotten that. And so whether when my students, some of them are in the OR, so whether they do a project in the OR or they always figure out what is that basic unit of cost and what they're doing to decrease waste and translating that into not only the clinical outcomes, but the financial outcomes, educational outcomes, the technology outcomes, and in their role.
Well, I appreciate you being on board, but really and truly, outcomes does define the clinical nurse specialist from the patient, the nurse, the system. I mean, there's data out there that is brought forward how that difference is. And I really do appreciate a partner.
Right.
You know, as
absolutely
far as taking, you know,
yep.
that just to make that quality care, those positive outcomes from evidence-based practice. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. Evidence-based practice is the building block. And I think, too, as nurses, I mean, our profession is going to be a house divided if we don't welcome new roles and learn how to complement in terms of the ultimate goal, however we define that outcome.
I think it's important for us to give nurses opportunities to expand their roles in many directions. And in some facilities, some roles are going to be more available than others or more popular than others in the way that facility's administrative setup is organized. At least that's been my experience.
Right.
So, you know, we have to wrap up. I'd love to sit here and have this conversation. And it sounds like the rest of you are passionate as well about this. But we do have to kind of wrap up the discussion at some point. And I thought it would be nice to close out with each of you giving some advice to that nurse or maybe that nursing student here that's thinking about what they would do in an expanded role in nursing and maybe advance their career in another direction doing something, whether it's a clinical nurse specialist or a clinical nurse leader. And I guess, Peggy, I'll go ahead and start with you. Could you just share some advice on what they might want to try to do to begin exploring that role for themselves?
Well, I hope the nurses those that are thinking about nursing have that passion. It includes helping others. But more important, it's just making a change in someone's life and either making their symptoms a little more relieved, making sure their function is to their optimal. And when you find something and it's a passion for you or it's an interest, continue to pursue that dream. But also look every day. Make sure learning is in your little toolbox so that you grow. And the more you grow, the more we need your leadership here in the future. And look for a mentor or coach that really can help and encourage you, you know, or even point out and give you some feedback, you know. And I think that kind of support is really, really important.
Thank you, Peggy. I appreciate that. Nina, how about you? Do you have some thoughts you'd like to share with the nurses that are looking at expanding their role and advancing their career?
Well, Peggy stole the thunder really good. I would reiterate everything she said. I think that, you know, the push for everyone right now is to, you know, go back and get education. And what I'm seeing lately is many nurses in school but not really knowing where they're going for a path. And that's okay to a certain point. But I would really just reiterate what Peggy said about, you know, make sure that it's something you're passionate about. When I, you know, like I said, when I was looking for this, you know, when the CNL role came along, I was actually going out of nursing. And not because I didn't enjoy patient care and love taking care of people at the bedside. And what the role taught me on my journey through the CNL piece of my career was that I love being a leader. I love the whole leadership side of getting staff to think like a CNL thinks. So really ingraining that in staff, and that's kind of what put me on the leadership track. And I would say that, you know, you really have to be self-reflective. You know, go home every day when you're at the bedside and self-reflect on, well, what if you had done A first and C second instead of B second? And how would that have changed the dynamics of your day, your shift? So same thing with conversations you have with people, or, you know, if you really track down a problem for a patient but, you know, you might not have had the most decent conversation with another discipline during the whole process, go over that and be self-reflective in your mind to make it a better conversation the next time you have it. So you got to have the passion. You got to really want to do what's best for patients and families out there. That's what our business is about. And whether you're doing it right at the bedside, at the point of care, or whether you're doing it at a leadership level, it's all going to make a difference in the end.
Kathy, you get the last word, and maybe some thoughts you'd like to share with nurses about following that passion and getting their education.
Well, I'd like to just reiterate the importance of what Peggy said about the mentor and the coach. Particularly early on, that's really important. I had a nurse in nursing school who advised me to float for 6 months because I didn't want to jump into subspecialization as a new grad. That was probably one of the most valuable things that I ever learned because it taught me flexibility, and I was exposed to the burn unit, the ER, everything. And then after 6 months, I began to specialize in oncology and then breast center development over the course of my career. So the mentorship, the coaching is really important, somebody that you trust and that you look up to and you respect. And then what Nina said about the self-reflection is also very key. So I think it's really important that the nurses have courage, they self-reflect, that they don't forget that what differentiates our profession is that we're rooted in the essence of caring. And so there's a song called Find Your Passion, Make It Happen. I think it was Irene Carr. I agree with that. Find your passion. Is it taking care of patients and being a care provider as a nurse practitioner? Or is it being a system-level change agent as a CNL? Like we heard from Nita, who gets a lot of positive energy from changing the team to move in a different direction. Or somebody like Peggy, who has a real macro system level role and also gets the benefit of direct patient care and those complex patient care. So nurses have a new beginning, and we need to build from Florence up until the next generation of nurses and never forget that that essence of caring is what differentiates us, the science and art. And I'm proud to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Make sure you check out the entire November 2013 issue of Nursing Notes, where we examine the role of clinical nurse leaders across the country. You can read the entire issue online at www.discovernursing.com. And don't miss the other Nursing Notes Live episode this month, bringing you a special interview with our get-to-know nurse this month, clinical nurse leader Barbara Edwards. Barbara is a clinical nurse leader at St. Lucie Medical Center in Florida. You'll find this and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area in iTunes. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.